was God.
The Word was with God in the beginning.
Everything came into being through the Word.
And without the Word, nothing came into being.
What came into being through the Word was life.
And the life was the light for all people.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't exist the light.
The fire blazes burning bright, shining all on me. I see the presents underneath the good old Christmas tree. And I wait on light till Santa comes to wake me from my dreams. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. I see the children play outside like angels in the snow. Well, Mom and Daddy share a kiss under the mistletoe. And we'll cherish all these simple things wherever we may be. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. The stockings by the Christmas tree. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me.
I listen for the third of reindeer walking on the roof. As I fall asleep to lullabies, the morning's coming soon.
The only gift I'll ever need is the joy of family. Oh, why?
'Cause that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. I'm hanging all the stockings by the Christmas tree. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me. Oh, why? 'Cause that's Christmas to me.
Christmas to me.
I've got this Christmas song in my heart.
I've got the candles glowing in the dark. And then for years to come we'll always know one thing. That's the love that Christmas can bring. That's Christmas to me.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. I'm particularly excited to be here with our wonderful youth and our wonderful children who will be up here soon to lead us in worship. This is a fun Sunday for me, to say the least. I know that we have a couple of announcements, so I will let Holly lead us off on that. She told me she timed it. We appreciate that.
Good morning.
In early September, John and I introduced you to Concordia's first group of Stephen Minister trainees. Tomorrow, we will be completing our 50 hours of training, which has included pre-class reading assignments, in-class lecture, discussions, and also role play. On January 19th, we will be commissioning this very special group, giving Concordia's newest ministry a total of 9 Stephen ministers. Our Stephen ministers know how difficult it can be to ask for help when you are hurting, but they also know the great personal and spiritual growth and healing that can follow. They know how to respond in a loving, caring, and non-judgmental way. They are equipped, ready, and waiting to provide the comfort and care God very much desires you to have. If you find yourself now or in the future facing difficulties, take the courageous step of seeking help. Open your heart to receiving God's love and grace through another person. Our Stephen ministry offers the opportunity for a very confidential relationship with someone who will listen to you and provide you with the care and encouragement you need. For more information on Stephen ministry, please feel free to contact Pastor Claire, myself, or John Budd. Thank you.
I am so excited that our Stephen ministry class is almost complete and we will have our first round of Stephen ministers. What a wonderful ministry to this church. What an absolutely wonderful ministry. A couple of announcements that I found. There's an information session today following worship in the Memorial Lounge with me. In the Chimes, in November, we posted the 2020 North Central Jurisdiction article on a vote that they had made regarding some of the things that are happening in the larger denomination. So I will make myself available today to answer any questions that I can. So if you have any questions or concerns about that or about anything else, always scary to open yourself up to that, but we'll try that. I will be available in the Memorial Lounge following worship today. Poinsettias, the poinsettia deadline is tomorrow, December 16th. So if you would like to order a poinsettia, please get a form and do so. This week on December 19th at 7 p.m., we are having a Blue Christmas service, and I know actually that some of the Stephen ministers are going to join me at the Blue Christmas service. So if you would like to come to that, it is on the 19th at 7 p.m. And then lastly, the Christmas Eve worship service is next week, the 24th at 7 p.m. So those are all of my announcements, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jeff.
Friday and Saturday this coming week, Salvation Army bell ringers. I know that most of you have all your plans done for the holidays, so you're looking for extra things to do. But we have sign-up sheets in Fellowship Hall. We need people especially on Saturday afternoon at the Sentry, but there are open spots either at the Pig or the Sentry, Friday and Saturday this week. Thanks.
Another one of the many wonderful ministries that we do in this church. So, all right. I think I am going to turn it over to Ella.
Please stand and join in our praise on the screen above. From places deeply rooted, we gather to light our Advent candles. From places yet discovered, we gather to light our Advent songs. From places still hidden in plain sight, we gather to read our Advent texts. From places tangled with disappointment,
we gather to share our Advent prayers.
Please join us in singing "The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy," number 2098 in the Black Hymnal. The words will also be on the screen above. We will sing verse 1, the refrain, and then verse 1 again.
Thank you.
pray together this morning with the response, Lord, bring us your light.
Holy and loving God, in this season of Advent, of your coming, we find ourselves waiting, longing and looking for you to come into our world. We are seeking your light. Holy God, in our own lives, in the moment when we feel scared, hurt, or lonely, at the times when things can feel hopeless, for healing, love, and kindness we pray. Lord, bring us your light.
In our neighborhoods, for those who live closest to us, especially who are struggling to find food, shelter, warmth, and love this holiday season, for abundance, hope, and understanding we pray.
Lord, bring us your light. In our families, for loved ones near or far, who bless our lives and challenge us in more ways than we can count. For unending love, patience, and joy, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
In our schools, where the light of learning and growth shines so bright, for patience, love, and safety, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
In workplaces, where the end of the year can challenge and overwhelm, for strength, clarity, and joy, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
In our church, in this place where we have been charged to spread your light to all we meet, for courage, openness, and guidance, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
In our nation, this imperfect human creation where we try so hard and yet often fall so short, for unity, trust, and forgiveness, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
In our world, this beautiful planet you so lovingly created with all of its creatures, peoples, and plants, for health, care, peace, and gentleness, we pray.
Lord, bring us your light.
God, you once said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened, ask and it will be given to you. So let us pray together the prayer on the screen above.
Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. May we have eyes to see you and ears to hear you. May we find that you have come into our world today, bringing your light of hope, peace, love, and joy to all who need you. Amen.
You may be seated. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking,
"Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed this star at its rising and have come to pay him homage."
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him,
"In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact same time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage."
When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. Then they saw that the star had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy.
Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the everlasting light, the Son of righteousness arise and triumph o'er these shades of night.
And come thou long awaited one, in the fullness your love and loose this heart bound up by shame, and I will never be the same. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing through and through, and days spring from on high be near, and day star in my heart appear. And dark and cheerless is the morn, until your love in me is born. And joyless is the evening song, until Emmanuel has come. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing through and through, and day spring from on high be near, and day star in my heart appear. So here I wait in hope of you, all my soul's longing spring from on high be near, and day star in my heart appear.
In the United Methodist Church, we give through prayers, our presence, finances, our services, and our witness. You have given us a gift by being here with us today to witness how youth and children can share the story of Christmas and Advent with hope, peace, joy, and love.
During the past 4 weeks, our church has been highlighting Concordia's financial giving through apportionments to many missions in our state and world. The insert in the bulletin explains apportionment giving and ways you can contribute. It also highlights 4 missions that receive the benefits of United Methodist apportionments.
As a United Methodist youth, we have many opportunities to put our words into action and connect our faith with life experiences. One of those ways has been participating in Volunteers in Mission's annual trip to United Methodist Children's Services in Milwaukee.
Our experience at UMCS, located in the Washington Park neighborhood, has been one where we see our volunteering bring hope to others and discipleship through love. This neighborhood struggles with an unemployment rate of over 15% and almost 50% of the population living below the poverty line. This leads to families struggling to find a sense of stability and hope.
At UMCS, we see transformation in families that provide safe, affordable housing, reliable food sources, positive child care, job training and education, community resources including access to health care, financial education, mental health support, AODA support, and transportation.
Based upon the fundamental belief in God's love, UMCS values the dignity, potential, and worth of each person and creates a nurturing environment and sense of community in which miracles happen.
This Christmas, we ask you to pray for our friends at UMCS for their programming to continue to provide opportunity and for all of us that serve to help them make this mission possible.
As a member of the VIM team, I believe our faith in action makes a huge difference in the lives of others at UMCS and all of the missions of the United Methodist Church.
Today and this Christmas season, let us remember all these missions in our prayers, our presence, our financial giving, our service, and our witness. Would the other ushers please come forward to collect the offering today? Let us pray together. Glorious God, you lead wise men to seek Jesus, offering them precious gifts. We too offer our gifts in gratitude for the coming of your child. Receive and bless this offering as a joyful sign of the boundless love, radiant light, and abundant life we are called to share in Christ. Amen.
One of the greatest parts about the Advent season and Christmas is seeing and talking with friends and family. Over the past years, one of the ways of communication has changed has been through social media with little pictures called emojis.
Emojis are pictures that we send to share a feeling or emotion. Happy, sad, disappointed, confused, whatever the emotion might be, there is surely one to be found in the over 3,000 emojis that exist today.
We invite you now to enjoy our youngest members of the church in their version of the Christmas story titled An Emoji Christmas.
Friends, my name is Dave.
And I'm Dan.
And if you're receiving this message, it's because you're one of the friends or family in our phones. Christmas is coming, and it's our favorite holiday of the year.
It's the time when we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. Now, we could simply just send you all Bible verses and such to share the good news, but we decided to get a little creative.
You see, our phones are full of all these funny characters called emojis, and we think they can tell the story of Christmas for us.
I'm not so sure about this, Dave and Dan.
Oh, hello there, skeptical emoji. What aren't you so sure about?
I applaud you for wanting to tell the Christmas story, but a Christmas pageant with emojis, don't you think that's a little, you know, silly?
It probably is a little odd, but in today's world of technology, we think this is a creative way to get the message across in a way people won't ever forget.
I think we should just lay here and take a nap.
Now is not the time for sleeping. Don't you see everyone looking at us?
Well, I think everyone's looking at me.
You guys are so funny. Well, I think this is going to be the best Christmas program ever.
I'm not sure who's cuter, Dave or Dan. Dan or Dave, the guy in fifth row.
I'm just so gosh darn happy to be here. Life sure is great, isn't it?
All right, everyone, let's get ready for our opening number.
Music? There's music in this show? I hope your songs are all properly licensed.
Just enjoy the show, Mr. Scrooge.
Go tell it on the Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and Instagram.
Listen up, you emojis. Let's take our places and start the program.
Don't be afraid.
Ah, why would you come up and scare us like that?
Don't you remember what happened in all those scenes with the angel?
Yes, the angel appeared and told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and that his name would be Jesus. Then the angel went to see Joseph and told him that the child Mary was carrying was the Son of God.
What a wonderful message, but no, that's not what I mean. What was the first thing the angel said? Do not be afraid. I can only think of one reason why the angel would say such a thing.
And that is?
It must have scared the willies out of everyone, seeing an angel appear in your living room.
Good point, but I think do not be afraid means more than that. Thanks to Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of sin or death. Jesus came to conquer them all. Now that we have Jesus, he can take away all our fears.
Why, Dave, that's so brilliant. Did you think of that?
No, I got that from the Bible.
Okay. Let's get this story started already.
Yeah, can we hurry this thing up? There's probably a football game I'm missing.
And I need to start getting ready for my nap.
Take your places.
Long ago, about 2,000 years, when King Herod ruled Judah, now part of Israel, God sent an angel to a young woman who lived in the northern town of Nazareth. The girl's name was Mary, and she was engaged to marry Joseph. The angel said to Mary,
"Peace be with you. God has blessed you. You will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and give birth to a baby boy, and you will call him Jesus. He will be God's own son, and his kingdom will never end." Mary was afraid, but she also trusted God.
Let it happen as God chose.
Joseph was worried when he found out that Mary was expecting a baby before their marriage had taken place. He wondered if he should put off the wedding altogether.
Then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Do not be afraid to have Mary as your wife. Mary has been chosen by God to be the mother of his son, and he will be named Jesus, which means Savior."
When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had told him to do and took Mary as his wife.
At this time, the land where Mary and Joseph lived was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Augustus wanted to have a list of all the people in the empire to make sure they paid their taxes. He ordered everyone to return to the town where their families originally came from, enter their name in a register or census there.
Mary and Joseph traveled a long way, about 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because that is where Joseph's family came from. Most people walked, but some lucky people had a donkey to help carry the goods needed for the journey. Joseph and Mary traveled very slowly because Mary's baby was due to be born soon.
When they reached Bethlehem, they had problems finding somewhere to stay because so many people had come to register their names in the census. Every house was full and every guest room was taken. The only place to stay that they could find was in a stable with animals.
So in the place where the animals slept, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God.
In those days, it was custom to wrap newborn babies tightly in a long cloth called swaddling clothes. Jesus' bed was the manger that the animals ate their hay from.
Hills and fields outside Bethlehem, shepherds looked over their sheep through the long night as the new day began. Suddenly an angel appeared before them, and the glory of God shone around them.
"Do not be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger."
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to everyone on earth.
When Jesus was born, a brand new some wise men in faraway countries saw the star and knew what it meant. They set out to find the new king and bring him gifts.
When the wise men arrived in Bethlehem, they bowed down to worship the baby Jesus. They presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Stable behind the inn, the baby was born and changed the course of history.
He was no ordinary child because his father was our heavenly father.
He was the Messiah long promised and came to save his people.
God knew we could never afford to pay the price for our sins.
So he paid the price with his only son.
Jesus is the best gift ever given.
He is the greatest gift you will ever receive.
We hope you and yours will welcome Jesus into your hearts this Christmas and every day of the year.
Our emoji friends have brought a smile to your face, but more importantly, we hope this Christmas you will invite Jesus into your heart.
There is no greater gift you can give yourself than a relationship with Jesus. That's why we all text you a Merry Christmas.
We text you a Merry Christmas. We text you a Merry Christmas. We text you a Merry Christmas, but not worldwide.
Good. Let's give one more round of applause for all of our actors and actresses here. And Ani, Maria, and Layla, will you stand up? Because we need to give you guys a thank you to face these people, and let's thank them for all the work that they did on this. and one for Marty as well for doing the play-in. That was really incredible. Let's light some Advent candles. This is awesome. I never have this big of a crew up here. It's going to be fun. Okay. So as we just talked about, Christmas is a really special season, right? So what colors do you think of when you think of Christmas? Red, that's a great one. Green, white, silver. You know, I think of another one. Look around you and see if there's a color that you notice up here in the front of the sanctuary a lot. Blue, yeah, exactly. So all of these different colors around the sanctuary change with the seasons. They were green a little while ago. They're going to be red on Pentecost Sunday. We don't get to celebrate red very often, which is too bad because it's pretty. but blue is the one that we use for Christmas. But some other people think of purple, and there's kind of a cool story behind it. So in England, when they were trying to dye things purple for Advent, because that was the color, purple was a really hard color to dye. Purple. Can you think of a lot of things that are purple that you could like crush up and use dye? Plums maybe? Yeah. Grapes. Well, surprisingly, those actually dye things a little bit more red. You can go home and try with the permission of your parents. I promise you. Purple is a hard color to get. What, flowers? Yep, that's something you could use. They actually used snails for a while. That's how they did it. They used snails. And it was a very secretive process. So in England, in a region called Sarum, they were trying to dye things purple, and it would be purple for a few minutes, and then it would turn blue. It would fade to blue because of the light. And so in England, they used blue for Advent because they couldn't get things purple. And so some churches have kept the blue, especially churches that are closely related to the Church of England, like the United Methodist Church, whereas other churches have kept purple. So you see, we have purple candles. So we kind of have both in our sanctuary. Kind of cool, huh? So that's why the candles are purple and why they also could be blue. Kind of cool. And do you notice that there are two candles that are not purple, right? What do we got there? Pink and white. Yes, exactly. So today we get to light the pink candle. And what does the color pink remind you of? Love? That's what I would have said too. But surprisingly, we light the pink candle when we do joy, even though it seems to make more sense to light it for love, right? Because it's Gaudier Sunday, which means joy. And the joyous color that the Catholic Church chose that we borrowed is pink, which is kind of cool. So you want to help me light the pink candle and some purple candles? And you can think maybe they're blue in your head if you like them better blue. You want to help light some candles? Who else wants to help light candles? I need the screen because we've got some things to read first. And can we put that right up front so that the kids can help? Today we light the first, second, and third candles of the Advent wreath. What does the first candle means? Hope.
What does the second candle mean?
The second candle means peace.
What does the third
mean? The third candle means joy. Why do we celebrate joy? Excellent job. Nice job. All right, so I need three volunteers. I need three candle lighters. Oh, well, I know we had one candle lighter here. We'll do two, three, and then I need somebody to find the joy banner and move it to the front. Who wants to do that? You'll do that? Perfect. Find the joy banner. I've got the candle. Got to switch it out. It wasn't hiding very well, was it? Okay, who wants to be our first candle lighter? Yep. And then we undo this one and we put it over there. Do you want to go get some? Very nice. So two purple candles and a pink candle. You get to pick. You're going to go purple? Perfect. cool, isn't it? All right, who's going to go next? You going purple or pink? Nope, the pink one's been taken. All right, maybe you get to do a purple candle. Perfect. So how many weeks do we have till Christmas? One, right? We only got one candle left. Got one candle left because we light that one on Christmas Eve, right? Okay. And I have a little bit of a children's sermon for you all. And I promise it comes with props. I need my white sheet of paper back here. We'll see why soon. So one of the things I noticed when I was listening to your Christmas program is that you talked about a lot of different signs that Jesus was coming, right? I think of the song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So what are some of the signs of Jesus? A star? Yes. What else? Angels. There were a lot of angels, right? That was kind of surprising. That was a good sign. Do you see angels around at Christmas time?
Yeah,
we have a lot of good signs of Christmas. So the wise men followed which sign?
A star,
exactly. Can somebody hold this for me? So I brought a star with me today. Did I put my cell phone down? And I'm actually going to use my cell phone, the emoji one. And this star has a little surprise, just like the wise men's star. So you guys can see it if you can. You can also do this when you get home. So it's a little glass star. And if we put light through it, do you see what I see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a rainbow, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It turns out a cell phone is really good for this because it's got a really bright light. So you can borrow a cell phone.
That's pretty.
That's cool, huh? It has a little rainbow. So this little star reminds me of the star that the wise men saw in that it has a little surprise in it, a little miracle, right? And I brought one for all of you today, and I hope that you'll take it home with you and hang it in your window where the sun can go through it. And when that you see it, you'll think that during this Christmas season, you can find miracles in unexpected places, like little bitty babies and stars. Kind of cool, huh? Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Holy God, thank you for miracles and signs and candles and colors. But most of all, thank you for the biggest miracle of all, your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to leave that there for the moment. Don't trip over it. As we go forth, let us remember that signs and miracles of the season can be found in all different kinds of places. In the faces of the youngest members of our congregation, in stars, in sheep, in meadows, in angels. Amen. All right, let's sing Joy to the World.